I just wanted to say once again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I'm especially blessed to have my mom and dad here today from South Carolina. So my mom's here, Jennifer, and my mother-in-law sitting next to her, Cassidy's mom. So we love you. Thank y'all. Can y'all give her a warm welcome for being here today? It's extra special. We had a slumber party at my house last night. We had a lot of fun. The kids stayed up way too late, but we partied hard, didn't we? We have a lot to be grateful for today. And as we're continuing this series, You and Me, we've been talking about God's plan for relationships, specifically marriage. But I believe that this series will speak to you whether you're married, whether you're thinking about getting married, whether you're single, or whether you're single again. Or even if you're a teenager and you're like, listen, I'm not getting married for a long time. Listen, if you learn some of these truths now, it'll help you out later. Can I get an amen from the rest of the crowd, all right? Today, we're going to week four, and we're going to be talking today about God's mission for marriage. And so there's message notes right inside your worship guide. You can pull those out and follow along with me. Also, there's a Chet's Creek app. If you're into apps, you can actually follow along on your notes there. Or if you love to have the actual physical Bible in your hand, any way you want to follow along, you do that. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 today. You can go ahead and turn there. And just to catch you up on what we've been talking about, this is kind of like coming into the middle of a movie. You know, you come into the middle of a movie, you don't really know what you've covered so far. But the first week we talked about how marriage is a picture of our relationship with God, that it's a picture of Christ and the church. Then week two, we talked about how we're supposed to serve each other in marriage, which is fun, right? Mutually submitting to one another, loving each other unconditionally. And then lastly, we talked about how marriage is not a contract, but it is a covenant. That is a commitment we make, not to man, but to God, ultimately. But let's be honest. People get married for all types of reasons, right? I did a little bit of study. Historically, people got married, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, some thousands of years ago. They would get married to have children in order for those children to be heirs of a big kingdom or a lot of money. You've seen these old shows, these old movies. And the reason they were married is they would find other people that were in the same, you know, place that they were. Some people get married for land. Some people get married for social status, right? It's just something I need to do. I need to get married. I don't want to be a weirdo. There's somebody over there. I think I'm going to marry her. Some people look at it as a logical next step. Well, I'm out of college. The next logical step is to get married. Some people get married because they want to grow old with someone. Isn't that nice, right? Most of the guys, that's probably not your first thought, right? Some people get married to have a great sex life. Anybody? By the way, today's message will be PG, so if you have your kids in here, you might want to take them to the kids area. I know you're all like, oh, wow, really? Yep, we are. Is it to grow healthy kids? And yes, those are all great things, but our culture today, the primary reason people get married is for personal happiness. It's in all the movies, right? It's in all the TV shows. If I find the right person, if I find the person that will complete me, then they will make me happy. But when reality sets in, nobody can make us happy all the time, and especially long term. So today we're going to talk about the mission of marriage, that marriage is not just built on a goal of just personal happiness, but it's something deeper than that. So what's the mission of marriage? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It's been on the screen. And it says this, read with me. For husbands, this means love your wives just as what? Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. The Apostle Paul wrote this chapter 5, and he paints this blueprint of marriage. Like if you took Ephesians chapter 5 and you said, listen, I want my marriage to improve. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better wife. Go and read Ephesians 5 and just obey it and see what happens. But just in these few verses, it paints this picture of how when we look at our relationships in life, not just our marriages, but with people, if we loved people the way that Jesus loves people, everything will change in the relationship. And we don't wait for them to do it. We take the initiative first. Jesus took the initiative, right? He came out of a perfect place called heaven, and he didn't come to earth because we deserved it. He came to earth because we were desperately in need without it. And he paints this picture that if we're going to have a godly marriage, it has to be grounded in the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. 1, 2, 3. The gospel. Marriages don't last if it's based on human circumstance or human happiness. They don't last. Because each person is sinful and broken, and we all have faults. Because the truth is, anyone can fall in love. But it takes true love to last the long haul. And that's what I want in my life. How about you? I don't want to be a statistic, do you? And the reality of marriage is that God has created marriage. It's his idea. But I want you to jot this truth down, because this is really the big idea of today's message. And it's this. The mission of marriage for every husband and wife should be deep what? Friendship. You know, most marriage books don't have a chapter about friendship. But you know, the very groundwork, the foundation of a marriage is friendship. But a lot of times we start dating someone, not because we necessarily want to be their friend. We just think they're really cute. They're really attractive, right? Most guys in the room, if we're honest, and I'm not going to ask you to speak out loud, the first thing you noticed about your significant other is you thought that they were cute, attractive. I mean, let's be honest. When they walked in, you went, bada bing, bada boom. You know, you're like Adam. When Adam saw Eve, he said, at last, my woman is here. God has created a wonderful thing. Sometimes that's the way with ladies. You know, you might notice that, but then you start noticing more qualities and the way that they love you and treat you and treat you with compassion. But a real marriage has got to develop a friendship. When me and Cassie started dating in college, we hung out with groups of people. We went bowling. We went to movies. And we started to serve at a church together. I was in this little bitty church in the middle of nowhere in Georgia. I was a youth pastor. I started with 2 kids. And so I walked in the room and there's 2 kids. And I said, all right, let's do this. And they're looking at me like, we don't even know what a youth group is. We'd never been to camp. So we started building this ministry and we started reaching kids, and kids were coming to Christ, and it was exciting. And so I met Cassie at college. I said, hey, why don't you come out and play guitar and sing? And she's the blonde that was up here singing. And so I was like, well, you can sing really good, and I could use you. And so we started serving God together. I mean, I wanted to be friends quicker. I mean, beyond friends quicker than I planned to be, but we built a friendship. I got to know her as a person before we went and took the next step of, hey, I love you, you know, I like you. And then it was from the I like you to I love you, right? You know that stage? Some of y'all just jump right in, right? You just went right in. I love you. Like first date, I just love you so much, right? And then the other one's like, like, I have to go now, right? You know, I don't know what to say. But we built this friendship. But I actually thought it would be fun this last week to go to Facebook, which is a scary thought. But I went to Facebook and I asked, a lot of you actually responded, to how do you build a healthy friendship in your marriage? I wanted to know what you thought. And so I wanted to throw some of these statements on the screen, and we're going to read with them. A lot of you said a date night. A date night's huge, right? And you have to plan a date night, right? Because it ain't going to happen, especially if you have kids. Some of these are really funny, actually. Going out of my way to do something nice for my spouse. Isn't that good? You can write that down, you know. Especially Mother's Day. Do something nice for her. Communications. One of my friends said, guys, talk to her. Open your mouth and talk, right? Very basic, but very important. Laugh often. One of my friends said, you know, you need to have one good belly laugh every day. I don't know. You maybe have to tickle each other. I don't know. Say funny jokes. The next screen. Talk about interests and hobbies, even if you aren't interested in their hobbies or interests. I love that. Right, I think it was Jeremy said that. It was really hilarious because he talked about how, you know, he'll talk about sports and she will listen with hopefully, you know, some love. But she's like, that's great for you, right? But then when she talks about what she wants to talk about, it's you show sympathy and you love that person. Quality time away from kids. Can I get an amen? That's good stuff. Yes, quality time. Buy your husband a new toy. That's a good one, right? Write that one down. One of my buddies said, buy me a new surfboard. I said, put me down for that. Put me down. Sonic ice cream. I don't really know. I just thought ice cream can't go wrong. Put the phone down. What would happen? What would happen in our dates if we just put, like when me and Cassie go to dates, it is hard because sometimes we have important things to do. But I'll say, put the phone away. And she's like, yeah, I know. I need, you know. And I'm like, someone texted me. And we're like, no, put the phone away. So we can focus. Have you ever been to a restaurant, though, and you'll see people, and they're on a date, and they're like this the whole time? I love you, I love you. And they're waiting for the other person. It's weird. It happens, right? It used to be teenagers that did this, but now it's really us now. We're just as bad. Dream together. Dream together. Attend church together. Serve God together. Let me tell you, serving God together builds a bond like you'd never imagine. when you have the same focus. Let's see the next screen. Don't complain or bash your spouse to others, especially in public. You ever been around one of these moments where that happens? It's really awkward. Don't do that. You know, celebrate the person in public. Share struggles knowing there is no judgment, but acceptance and empathy. Building that openness where you can say anything but you're loved. I love this. Massage your feet with lotion. Come on now. I'll tell you, one thing my dad does well is he massages my mom's feet like every night. I know it's kind of, y'all are like, I'm not a foot person. Well, and y'all been married for how long? 40, that's the key, right? Honestly, that's the key, right, Mom? He just has to, all they have to do is massage feet and you'll marry a long, long time, all right? I mean, that's it right there. Is there one more screen, I think? And this is one of my friends in Alabama. He said, do things she will not have to. Remember, Jesus died, so I would not have to. You know, do the dishes, the house, bath time for kids. Do things for her. Build the friendship. Friendship's not always what we focus on in our culture today when it comes to marriage. And this is a valuable truth today. If you're single today and you're like, you know, you're ready to mingle, you know, and I'm not going to have everybody raise their hands and look around to those that were not single like I did week one. But build a friendship first, then move from there. Don't jump right into romantic because you'll miss the friendship. A lot of people get married in the first year, they forget really who that person was when they realize it's not just the honeymoon all the time. If you're single today, focus on your relationship with Christ and become complete in that. So when you are ready to get married, you're not looking for them to fill the void that only God can. This is a truth statement. But the Bible begins with marriage. I love Genesis chapter 2. The entire world had just been created. Adam is there by himself with lots of animals that he had named. Imagine being that, having that be your job. You get to name all the animals. I would have come up with some other ideas, but they were good. I mean, imagine this epic creativity that God has done. He's created everything that we see, and Adam is in a perfect place, his perfect relationship with God, but there's something that's not right. The Bible says that a man will leave his father and mother and become one, hold fast to his wife, but in Genesis 2:18, it says, it is not what? Good for the man to be alone. God said, I will make a helper who is just right for him. In perfect creation, perfect fellowship with God, Adam was still not right. It still wasn't right. I mean, we're wired for connection. God has wired you for relationship. That's why solitary confinement is considered by most one of the worst punishments for those that are serving time. Because they're separated, they're isolated from people because God has made us to desire connection. He's created you for relationship. It's a good design that he's made. It's interesting to think about. I mean, Adam was lonely in paradise. He had sole control of the TV remote. And it still wasn't good. And the Bible created Eve. God created the woman out of the man's rib. Now, this is the part of the story I wish I could have seen. And I believe that God created woman out of the rib because it was to show that the wife was part of him, but she was also equally important to him. God did not take something out of his brain and make the woman. That would have been really ugly because it wasn't this picture that the woman is to rule over the man, but he didn't take something out of the feet of Eve because it's this picture that Adam was not to treat her as a doormat, but he took the rib, which is next to the what? The heart. I think it's a picture that he wants the husband and wife to be close, to be friends, to have intimacy. That he's created for us to keep her close to his heart. So here's the question I want us to ask today. How do I build friendship in my marriage? How do I truly build friendship? Jot this truth down if you're taking notes. Marital friendship learns transparency. Transparency. This is the part of marriage that's hard, especially for men today. It's hard for us to be transparent fully. Some of us are better than others. Some of us, you know, if someone says, hey, how are you doing? We'll tell everything how we're feeling, right? Most guys, you know, we're like, you know, I'm okay, I'm good. But on the inside, we're not. To build a healthy friendship in marriage, we've got to learn to be transparent. We've got to learn to open up. And a lot of times we have past hurts that we have in our past that keep us from being open and transparent in our marriage. But God has created us to open up. It took me and Cassie a while to learn that when we were dating and then we were married, for her to fully be transparent with me, because it's hard to do that, isn't it? To fully open yourself up to someone else. But if we're going to have that kind of friendship, we've got to be transparent. Proverbs 27 verse 9 says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. The heartfelt openness, transparency. So begin to ask questions like, hey, how are you really doing? And then actually listen and put the TV remote down. To actually listen with the heart. And I'm telling you, if we simply do that, God will begin to bring the marriage closer together in our friendship. So transparency is huge. Number two, marital friendship practices consistency. Consistency. Not just halfway, but consistent love for this person. I read about Henry Ford. You know, he created Ford Motor Company. And someone came to him and asked him at his golden wedding anniversary. He said, to what do you attribute your 50 years of successful married life? He said, the formula. He said, it's the same formula that I've always used in making cars. Just stick to one model. Isn't that good? That he had a long view of his marriage with his wife. He wanted to have a consistent, loving, forgiving friendship with his wife. This is something that we've all got to learn today in our culture, because a lot of times we go find friends outside of the marriage that we're closer to. Now listen to me on this. Wives, we go find other wives to pour all of our problems into, and our husband never really finds out sometimes. And men, we build friendships, we go fishing, we go play sports, and we'll open up some, but a lot of times we keep some of those things from our wives. But what the Bible talks about when it comes to marriage is that the marriage relationship should be the closest relationship in all of the world. Now, we need guy friends, we need girlfriends, we need that. But not at the hurt of the marriage. Consistency. Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at what? All times. We've all had friends like this, and they're usually about two or three people that are your best friends, and you can tell them anything and they still will love you. That's the way our marriages should be. That's what our goal should be in our marriages. And by the way, love is more than a feeling. We've talked about this. Love is not a feeling. It is an action. It is a choice. And many times when we choose to love, what follows? Our feelings. In our culture today, we say, if you feel like, do it. But when we look at the gospel, Jesus did it when we didn't deserve it. It's commitment. I've heard people tell me, say, Josh, I've fallen out of love. I used to be in love with this person. And what I usually tell them is, no, you chose not to love them. Love isn't a ditch that you fall in and out of. Amen? It's a choice. You choose to love or you choose not to love. Love is action. Love is a verb. And life's going to throw all kinds of unexpected struggles and temptations, and the enemy wants to attack your marriage. I mean, honestly, the number one target that he's after is your marriage, because if he can attack your marriage, then he's going to hurt your kids, and he's going to hurt their future. And let me tell you something. You say, Josh, I've been through that. I've been through a broken marriage. Listen, God's not done with you yet either. God can still use you to resolve and love and train your kids to love his way. Whether you've done it pretty well or you struggle with it, God wants us to learn consistency, because let's be honest, is God consistent? He never stops loving us. So Josh, well, how am I supposed to love someone like that? You don't really know how he is. You don't know how she really is. Guess what? God knows exactly how we are, and he loves us. That's where the love comes from, is the gospel. Third truth, jot this down. Marital friendship expresses sympathy and compassion. I want all the guys to say that together. Marital friendship expresses sympathy and compassion. It's something that we usually don't do as well as ladies. It's just the way God's wired us. When we stop, when we get home from work and we sit down and we choose to listen with our heart, it goes a long way. Instead of turning on the TV and moving on to what we have, to stop and to listen with the heart. Not distracted, but with this idea that I'm going to have compassion. And by the way, guys, I have only been married almost 9 years, but most, probably 98% of the time, she doesn't want me to fix it. Although my mind goes, oh, I know what we can do. I can fix that. We'll do this, this, and this. She doesn't want that, does she? She wants me to listen and stop talking and listen. Right? Come on, guys. By the way, it's okay to have fun in church. Amen? Some of y'all are looking at me like, you're making too many jokes. It's okay to have fun. And I know marriage is awkward and it's tense. You know, it's like, I don't want to talk about this at church. But it's God's creation. When we show sympathy and compassion, it goes a long way. I love Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. that when your spouse shares something, you share it, you carry it, you become compassionate, you become sympathetic, and you say, listen, I'm with you. It's like what I have to call having a safe place in your marriage. Your marriage and my marriage should be a safe place for our spouses to come and unload and not judge or criticize. Because we do that with our great friends that aren't in our marriages, don't we? We have like that friend that we talk to about everything. But it's to come to them and to love them. And I want Cassie to have a safe place with me. I don't want her to have to go to somebody else. She needs other people in her life, but I don't want her to not be able to come to me because the scriptures say, share the burdens, carry each other, show compassion. Many times it's the opposite because we're emotionally disconnected. Did you know that divorce doesn't start physically? It always starts emotionally. If your marriage is an emotionally disconnected, that's the first step for the enemy to get involved. And for us men today, one of the reasons sometimes our marriages is emotionally disconnected is because we don't do this for our wives. I'm just being really honest. Sometimes I'm not doing this for Cassidy, and I'm not filling up her tank. Amen? Share the burden. Walk with struggles together because Satan wants to hurt us. I mean, the Greek word for the kind of friendship love is the word phileo, but we usually talk about unconditional love, which is agape love, which is important in marriage. And then we talk about eros love, which is that romantic, passionate love in the marriage relationship. But we need phileo too. We need friendship to build a long-standing friendship with our spouses. Jot this down if you're taking notes. Number four, marital friendship cultivates intimacy. Like I said earlier, marriage should be the most intimate relationship on the planet. It should be more intimate than a mother-daughter relationship. It should be more intimate than a father-son relationship. It should be the closest, tightest relationship. Now, guess what? Let's just all be honest. We all have hurting, struggling marriages. Amen? We're not perfect. But our goal should be intimacy. You said, Josh, are we going to go there? Yes, we're going there. Sex is God's creation. God created it. Man has thwarted it and has messed it up. And marriage should be the place where sex is celebrated and enjoyed, and it be such an awesome thing that you don't go looking anywhere else for it. You with me? I'm gonna read some Old Testament to you. It's gonna get really awkward, so I'm gonna have fun. Song of Solomon. If you want to read a really spicy book, go read the Song of Solomon. It's actually Solomon and his wife on their honeymoon, and it's, I'll let you go read it. There are some verses I wanted to share, but I'm like, they're not ready for that. Song of Solomon 5:16 says, his mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. I don't know if I've ever been called lovely, but he was. This is my lover. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. God created sex to be the glue of a marriage, literally to hold you together. And it should be done in a way that serves the other, not as a way to hold something over them. This is where Satan likes to get involved in the nitty gritty. Now, this is what Satan does. Before marriage, he wants to lead you to have premarital sex and to not wait for marriage. That's his goal there. But then when you get in the marriage, he wants you not to have sex. Does that make sense? That's Satan's tactic. Before marriage, oh man, go after it. Have fun. No holds barred. In marriage, no, don't have, separate. Do you see what I'm saying? And in marriage, intimacy is not only emotional, it's not only spiritual, but it should be physical. And for some of us that are wives, maybe you need to learn to say, listen, I'm willing to serve my husband in this way because it is a need he has, physical need. Men need physical need, women have emotional needs. That they need more. In the Song of Solomon, he writes about her husband. This is my lover, this is my friend. I don't know about you, but when Cassidy wakes up every morning, she says, your mouth is sweetness itself. You are altogether lovely. My morning breath is awesome. It's like I just used mouthwash, right? Just kidding, it's bad. Look what Proverbs 5:18 says. It says, bless your fresh flowing fountain. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man. Say, Josh, is sex biblical? Absolutely, God made it to be within the marriage relationship and to be enjoyed as honor to God. You know, God is honored when you have sex in marriage. Like, it's actually something he created for you, for your enjoyment. And guess what? Satan wants to make you think that it's not. and joy. Build the intimacy in your marriage. We have kids, and so you have to be creative on when that happens, and you have to learn how to lock the door. We were renting a house, and the door literally wouldn't lock because the kids are always like, if your kids do that, they just grab handles and do this. Well, literally, I had to find a stick to, like, block the whatever it takes. Be creative. That's all I'm going to say. Some of y'all still haven't laughed yet. Just chill. It's all good. It's okay. That's why the Bible says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and become one flesh. That means sex. In the biblical marriage, they were not considered married until after the ceremony, and they go to this room, and they would consummate it, and then they would come out, and everybody's like, woo! Imagine that. That's how they did it. Because you are one once you consummate it. So Josh, this is awkward. This is what Scripture teaches, and it's cultivate intimacy. It's not just sexual, but it should be. So hear me say, this week, have sex with each other a lot. Okay. You can quote me on that. If you're married. I don't know how to move on from there, but let's do it. Number five, marital friendship prioritizes creativity and fun. Your marriage should be fun, amen? Should be something that's lame. Be fun and creative. Have fun in your marriage. Cassie went to me we went to the golf tournament on Friday morning. She'd never been to a golf tournament. She actually knows more than I thought, but she acted excited, and I think she enjoyed it. But we had fun together. We walked around, and we took pictures, and tried not to get in trouble with taking pictures at the golf tournament. We try to have fun together. I want to be interested in the things she's interested in, even when I don't really feel it. Same way with me. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 9 says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. That's pretty honest, right? The wife gives you is your reward. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Marriage is this friendship to be fun. Listen, some of y'all need a date night. Y'all need to go out and have some fun. Go laugh. Live happy with the woman that you love through all the meaningless of the world. Jot this down. Marriage is a way for two spiritual friends to help each other become the persons God's designed them to be. It's the next slide, I believe. Yeah, there it is. Marriage is a way for two spiritual friends to help each other become. Notice this, that the mission of marriage is not just the friendship, but is to push each other towards Jesus Christ. To focus the marriage on this mission, two friends to become the persons God's created. Tim Keller said it like this. He said, it is to look at another person and get a glimpse of the person God is creating and say, I see who God is making you and it excites me. It's to get this small glimpse that one day when we go to heaven and we stand before God, everything is going to be made perfect. And it's literally looking at your spouse saying, you know, one day everything's going to be made right. But there's glimpses, there's moments where I'm like, man, I'm so thankful for how God's gifted you and have blessed you in our marriage. Get this glimpse. And you spur each other on and you push each other towards Christ. Read Ephesians 5:25 with me again. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Especially on Mother's Day. What if we just did this today? God, how can I serve my wife? I want to throw this graphic back up there. I showed this week one. It's very helpful. It's in your notes, I believe, as well. And here's the truth about marriage. God has designed marriage to be in our bodies, in our relationship, in our mind, will, and our emotions, and in our spirit, that we're spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. But as the man pursues God, if we pursue and love God more, then we will have the ability to love our wives more. As we grow together, you see this arrow, as we grow closer to God, we actually grow what? Closer together. But if we grow further away from God, then there's really not a chance to grow deeper in these ways in our relationship. And pursuing and prioritizing a friendship that's grounded in the gospel is one of the greatest things you can do in your marriage. You need to go have fun together. You need to be creative. You need to cultivate intimacy. You need to say, listen, we need to go back to what was it at the beginning? How did we date each other? We were creative then, weren't we? And after we get married, it's like, oh, I've already got her. Check that off the box. Shouldn't be that way, right? I want to pursue God. In other words, if I love Jesus more than my wife, then I'll be able to serve my wife like Jesus serves me. If my emotional tank is filled with the love of God, then I'm able to be faithful and tender and compassionate and forgiving the way that Jesus has been for me. The more joy I get from Jesus, the more joy I can give to my kids, especially when I don't want to give it to them, when I'm worn out and tired. Jesus has offered this. It takes work. It takes time. By the way, it's not how you start in marriage. It's how you finish. Don't miss that. Said, Josh, things haven't gone well. Listen, God's not done with you yet. God can do a miracle in your marriage. God wants to bridge the gap between where you are and where he wants you to be. So, Josh, what are some steps for me? One of those is this. Make a list this week of what you want in a best friend. What if you just took out a piece of paper and you just wrote down all the things that you want in a best friend? And then step two, be that friend for your spouse. See what we did there? I want them to be this, but you know, I'm going to initiate. I'm going to be the kind of friend that I need to be for my wife or my husband. A psychologist named John Gottman spent years researching what makes a marriage flourish. And he said, he found that lasting relationships come down to friendships. Couples who stay married make an intentional effort to connect, share interest, and love each other unconditionally. You know, a simple takeaway today is build a friendship this week with your spouse. Be creative and say, listen, I'm going to love my spouse. But the honest truth is, for some of us, the first step that you need to take today is not horizontally with your spouse, but vertically with God. Every marriage problem is not a marriage problem. It's a God problem. And it just flows out to the person that's closest to us. If you're here today, you say, Josh, I don't know Jesus, and I need to make that decision. God's been speaking to your heart. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to him in just a moment and to begin that relationship, because here's the truth. Jesus needs to be first in our life, not part of our life. And we've got to make that commitment to follow him and to ask him to come into our life and change us. Spent some time over with the Lighthouse guys this Wednesday night. I had a prayer time. It's an amazing ministry that we get to be a part of. We're some of these guys coming out of prison, and we're loving them as a church and supporting them. And I get to go and sit in and listen to their story, and I get to hear Scott and the guys and how God is working in their life. And one of the guys is, I don't want to say his name, I don't want to embarrass him, but he's been pursuing what it means to follow Christ. He told me something the other day, and I haven't really told him this, that really hit me. He said, Josh, I'm not used to being around such good people. I'm a bad guy. And I looked at him, I said, man, we're all sinful. We're all broken apart from Christ. If it wasn't for the grace of God, and as we've been talking this last few weeks, he's been making decisions towards Christ and making that relationship real and wanting to follow him. Here's the truth of what I want to say today. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. There's not enough righteous, ritualistic, religious things you can do to somehow get God to love you more or to get to God to love you less. It's simply coming to Jesus just as you are and saying, God, would you have all of me? I am lost and I'm broken. And I need a relationship with you. Honestly, that's what we all need if you've not made that decision. Everything else we've talked about today is secondary. So maybe you're here today and say, Josh, that's me. I need to make that decision. I'm a man today and I need to make a decision. I'm going to go public. I'm going to follow Jesus. Ladies today, maybe your decision is to build that friendship with your spouse, to love him like Jesus loves you. Let's go to the Father in prayer. If you're here today, you say, Josh, that's me. I know it's because of my sin that Jesus went to the cross. And I know that we've all sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of his perfect standard. But the good news is that for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. The Bible says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So no matter what you've done, no matter what you walk in here with today, if you would simply trust Jesus and turn away from your old life and follow him, he will forgive you completely and give you a chance to be made new by the Holy Spirit of God who takes up residence in your life. It's simple as reaching out, asking him into your life to save you, to forgive you. And if that's you here today, you just simply say something like this to God. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I know I don't deserve it. I turn away from my old life and I turn fully to you. I want to commit my life to follow you. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. And God, would you help me to know what it means to follow you the rest of my life. I trust you. And thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here today, you say, Josh, I pray with you. I want to make that decision. There's a connection card right inside your worship guide. I'd love for you to take that out. Don't miss this. And just mark the moment. I'll be in the back after the service. I'd love to just shake your hand and pray for you because I want to get you a Bible. I want to help you understand what it means to follow Christ. Maybe you want to get baptized. We already have a couple of you guys ready to get baptized in a couple Sundays, and you're ready to go public. Just write on the back of that card, write baptism in big letters. Say, baptism. Sign me up. I'm ready. Ready to take that step. Maybe you're ready to take the next step to make this your church home. Like you don't want to just be an attender. Like you want to own it. You want to serve. You want to give and become part as a member of the church. Our one-on-one class is Wednesday, May 24th. Just sign up on the card. Write down 101. I promise you'll eat good. And come and just hear about the future. Let me tell you something. We own 14 acres right over here, and we're praying that God will do something here to where we'll outgrow this place. Amen? Because here's the truth. There's a lot of people in North Jacksonville that need Jesus Christ. We are not trying to grow a church to say, we have this many people, and you have... No, I don't care about all that. I care about people coming to know Jesus and being changed by him. So if you say, hey, Josh, I want in on that, you need to be at one-on-one class. You need to come and hear the vision, the history, and talk together. Because here's the truth. I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm not the one that does all the work. This incredible group of people make this church happen. I just get to be a part of it. So if you're saying, hey, I'm ready to join in, I'm ready to commit, you need to be there for that. Just sign up right on the card, say one-on-one, or come talk to me in the back. We're about to take up our offering. You take your connection cards and throw them in there. You can also place your tithes and offerings in the, as we pass it. You can also give online at chetscreed.com. I give online. That's how I do it. I don't really write a lot of checks, but however you give, thank you for giving and being generous towards the mission that God's called us to do. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask Cassie to especially pray for the offering and also pray for all the moms today. You do that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's pray. God, I just thank you for all the women in this room, Lord. I thank you especially today for the moms, whether by blood or by God-given, and the soon-to-be mothers, Lord. And God, I just thank you for their call in life, and I pray that they realize the importance of that call today, the importance of raising up another generation to know you and to love you, God, and such a weighty call that is. And I pray for strength for them day in and day out. And I also pray for those who do not have a mom and who do not have someone that they can look to for those needs, God. I pray that you will comfort them today as they grieve the loss of their mom or as they long for a earthly mom or someone to step in that role. I pray for those that want to step up and be that role for them. I ask that you use this offering to touch the lives of many children all over the world that need to hear from you, and for them to know most of all that you're our Father, God, and you're the love that we need more than anything in this world. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.